This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C., a live report from the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court following Arizona versus the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Immigration of the U.S. Supreme Court arguments begin that will ultimately decide if states have the power to enforce their own laws to arrest illegals. A lot on the line, especially when you consider an election year and everything that goes with it.
Finally, that moment is here. SB 1070 is the law, and it is considered one of the toughest in the nation. So the justices will now referee this clash between the Obama administration and the state of Arizona.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The law is going to cause significant civil rights problems throughout Arizona and other laws that are going to consider similar legislation, regardless of the Supreme Court outcome, which is just about the issue of whether the state laws go outside the boundaries of state power and interfere with the federal government's control over immigration matters.
It's interesting that the Department of Justice did not argue that in their presentation. This whole racial profiling concept, they didn't touch, because they understand that this is the only law in Arizona on the books that prohibits racial profiling.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. I'm going to go right to my dad, who's on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. The oral arguments are over in Arizona versus the United States on SB 1070. And, Dad, give us a report what it was like in the courtroom and what the justices, all eight of them that were missing Justice Kagan today, focused on.
I just have literally walked down out of the Supreme Court of the United States after the arguments, and we're at the steps of the court right now. There's about 1,000 protesters out here. But let me tell you one thing that became significant and very, very clear. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, asked the question of the United States government, does this law involve racial or ethnic profiling? The government's response, no, it does not. To underscore it, the question was asked again. So this case does not involve racial or ethnic profiling. No, it does not, was the response from the United States. Now, everybody needs to realize the arguments against 1070, against the state of Arizona, have been the concerns over civil rights violations for racial and ethnic profiling, and the federal government conceded today that those problems do not exist under this law. So I think this is a very good day for the state of Arizona. I had a chance to speak to Governor Brewer earlier, and also not a very good day for the United States. So I think it's very clear. I'm at the steps of the court. I'm going to work my way back towards our office in a few minutes. But the fact of the matter is, the arguments seem to be overwhelmingly clear that the state of Arizona has a valid role to play in the enforcement of its laws. And the enforcement of the laws here is the federal law. They're not creating new law. They're simply enforcing law. And another interesting question. One of the justices, Justice Scalia, asked, you know, it's required that a phone call be made to the federal government if someone's picked up and there's a suspicion of illegality or legal status. But yet you're saying the call itself is inappropriate. So how can you require the call, but say the call itself is inappropriate? So the government really had a rough day. Jordan, I'd say it's equivalent to the day they had at the Supreme Court of the United States during the health care cases. Same serious problem.
You know, and it's interesting. I read some of the first reports coming out that the focus was not on some of the provisions that have been most controversial in the media, that the focus was really about whether or not, because the states already have this power to report people, whether or not they can take the extra steps to empower the law enforcement officials. Where did Justice Kennedy come down? We got about a minute left before the break.
Resources for enforcement. So that even made it more significant. They acknowledged they needed the resources for enforcement. So, of course, the state of Arizona, as Justice Scalia, has the right to protect its citizens.
So they acknowledged again in court today that they don't have the resources?
That's correct. So, again, today they said it.
Wow. So you've got that. And, folks, they have said, is this about racial profiling? No, was the answer. We need to stand with Arizona. We'll get more from the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. My dad, who was at the oral arguments this morning, call now and stand with Arizona because, again, 30 states looking at enacting similar laws. Five other states already have. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Call now or go to aclj.org. Final day to sign the petition. Standing with the people of Arizona, the government of Arizona, to protect its borders. 877-989-2255.
It's a critically important week at the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments taking place on Arizona's immigration law. The issue, can Arizona constitutionally protect its borders and citizens by targeting illegal immigration? Here's the problem. Eric Holder's Justice Department is pursuing a troubling strategy. He's targeting state immigration measures, obstructing the rights of states to lawfully protect their citizens and secure their borders. Arizona is just the beginning. Alabama's immigration policy is under assault. More challenges are likely in other states as well. The Attorney General's skewed view of the law is not only disturbing, but dangerous as well. Stand with the ACLJ, which has filed an amicus brief with the High Court backing the Arizona law. It's time to send a message to the Attorney General. Stop obstructing states that have a constitutional right to protect their citizens and borders. Add your name now to our petition for a secure border. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you want to talk to us, call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. My dad is joining us from the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments have finished up in Arizona versus the United States. That involves SB 1070, which is about immigration enforcement, not actual naturalization laws. Dad, it seems like the reports are very interesting, different than what people maybe expected, because you had all these legal commentators acting as if this was a real uphill, slam dunk kind of case for the Obama administration, uphill for Arizona. It seems like your views on that have changed after being in the courtroom.
Well, let me give you a couple things. I just left the courtroom. Actually, I'm on the steps of the courthouse now. You hear some of the demonstrators behind me. But there's three points that have to be raised here. We, of course, represent members of the United States Congress, including a number of congressmen from Arizona. So that's a significant point to raise. And like I said, I just left the Supreme Court moments ago from the oral argument, so it's not like you get most radio broadcasts. We're in a studio, but here we're actually on the steps of the court. But let me give you a couple of highlights. Number one, the federal government conceded, the Solicitor General conceded that the Arizona legislation does not involve racial or ethnic profiling. Let me say that again, does not involve racial or ethnic profiling. And you'll remember President Obama authorized the lawsuit because his concern over violations of civil rights and civil liberties, racial and ethnic profiling. The government conceded today it does not involve that. Secondly, the government conceded, Justice Kennedy asked the questions that said this. He said, is it true that the federal government does not have the money necessary for enforcement of the existing immigration laws? The Solicitor General of the United States said, we do lack the resources necessary, and we have resource constraints. The question then came from Justice Scalia. Well, if you have resource constraints, why can't local law enforcement protect the citizens? And the government of the United States really had no answer to that. So that was a very significant series of questions. Justice Alito also asked some very important questions, talking about that this really isn't creating new law. This is about enforcement of existing law. The federal standards are the same as the state standards here. This is just a question of, does the state have the authority to enforce? And it looked like an overwhelming... Jordan, I wouldn't be shocked if seven justices on the enforcement issue say that they do have the right. In fact, interestingly, Justice Sotomayor, in a question that came up, and this was fascinating, said to the Solicitor General that, quote, I'm terribly confused by your answer. We're not working on allegations of racial profiling. Sotomayor said, no one is buying that the systematic enforcement of the law by the states is a problem. What is your next argument? And they didn't have one. So again, this points to, I think, a very significant statement. But Jordan, I have to underscore the idea that this was a violation of civil rights and was racial profiling. The government itself acknowledged today that it was not, and that in and of itself is very, very significant.
That is, I mean, that is huge, folks, that the federal government again admits in court, one, we don't have the full resources, we have resource constraints, we really can't protect everyone in Arizona, and then part two, that this has nothing to do with racial profiling, which they did not assert in their briefs, but everybody from President Obama, remember how he said, I don't want people to have to worry if, you know, if, because of the color of their skin about taking their kids to go get ice cream. Dad, what did they say about the foreign policy argument? That's another one that you hear the left bring up in response to this, saying, well, this interferes with U.S. foreign policy.
Yeah, the government actually, the United States government actually asserted that this is a question of foreign policy and we've got to have Mexico's cooperation or else we create a foreign policy problem. To which Justice Scalia said, oh, really? So if Mexico doesn't want us to enforce the laws of the United States, the federal government doesn't enforce them, nor do the states? So we have the foreign governments dictating the laws of the United States? The answer to that was clearly the government, again, ran into a significant roadblock. I mean, it was pretty interesting to watch in that sense. And again, of course, these are a lot of the positions we asserted in our brief. But at the end of the day, this was a very good day for the state of Arizona in the oral arguments. And the federal government ran into some serious obstacles. Obstacles I don't think they're going to be able to overcome. We'll see soon enough.
Okay, folks, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to stand with Arizona, call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We got some phone calls coming in. Robert's calling in from California on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call, Jordan. Now, let's make a quick comparison here. Under the U.S. Constitution, Article 3, Section 2, the U.S. Supreme Court is subject to the rules created by the Congress. What I'm trying to point out here is that this matter with regards to immigration is a federal jurisdictional matter, and since federal law trumps any time over state law with regards to this matter.
Yeah, but
the
federal law is not different than the state law. The state is just an enforcement vehicle here. I think it's very important. The state is just enforcing laws that the federal government has established. They've mirrored the laws, and the federal government conceded that the federal government doesn't have the resources to enforce the law. Justice Kennedy wisely asked. So if there was a mass civil unrest because of gang violence on the borders or drug wars, are you saying, this is what he asked the United States government, that the state of Arizona cannot exercise its police power to protect its citizens and report people that are here illegally, to which the government, again, had no reply? So this was not a question of preemption in the sense of federalism. This was the federalism question here is, do the states have a role to play? And I think seven justices think they do. So that becomes very, very significant here.
And I think what you've also got, Robert, going on is you're talking about naturalization. You're talking about who sets immigration standards. That's the federal government. That's Article 1, Section 8, which makes that clear, Clause 4. But that's not what Arizona's doing. They're not deporting anybody. They're just enforcing the laws that are already on the books. And, Robert, if you don't believe me, just understand that this is a difference over may versus shall. In one of the provisions of the law. They've already got that kind of power.
That's correct. And Paul Clement was very clear in saying that the state of Arizona is not determining whether someone can become a naturalized citizen of the state of the United States. It's a question of enforcing the existing laws to protect its citizens, and that is a big difference, and that takes off this foreign aspect off the charge.
With the liberals of the court on the court today, Justice Kagan not there, but a tie is not good enough for Arizona. They still need to get to five votes. How were the liberals on the court? Were they clearly in the Obama administration's camp, or was it a little bit different?
I mean, Justice Sotomayor said she was terribly confused by the government's answer. She said, we are working on, you acknowledge that we're not working on allegations of racial profiling. She then said, no one is buying your argument that systematic enforcement of the laws by the state is a problem. No one is buying your argument. That's what she said. That's Justice Sotomayor, a liberal member of the court. So I think they've gone into a serious roadblock here.
So another time, it looks like the Department of Justice has faltered at the U.S. Supreme Court. Folks, we want you to take a stand here, 877-989-2255. My dad calling in live from the U.S. Supreme Court, the steps of the court, outside the court. You can hear the protesters in the background. The case has ended. This is the final day of the Supreme Court term for oral arguments, and we'll start getting the opinions in June on health care, Obamacare, and, of course, Arizona's SB 1070. Both very close. Both involve the relationship, the constitutional relationship between the federal government and the states, the federal government and individuals. We want to take your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. But I also want you to stand with Arizona, who has committed the resources to fight this battle all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, fighting back against the Obama administration. Millions of dollars to do that. The state has done it. The people in Arizona want this law. You need to stand with them. 30 other states are looking at enacting similar laws. 5 other states have already. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's go to Raj calling in Virginia on line 3. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jay. And thank you all your counsels. We thank God that justice and truth and righteousness prevailing. My question is the following. Now that the justices have heard the case and are examining the merits, what is the procedure for filing a motion for a temporary restraining order or for injunctive relief? Because the possibilities of prevailing have now been before the justices, and harm is being done. Irreparable.
Well, I mean, that's what we're going to find out this summer, Dad, is that whether or not the preliminary injunctions will be lifted by the Supreme Court.
Well, let me tell you what this is. The court acknowledged, and everybody acknowledged, that this is what's called a facial challenge. That is, this injunction's in place. If there's 5 provisions at play here. Clearly, 3 of them are going to be held constitutional. Then there's a question of the other 2. So the entire 1070 is not going to be struck as unconstitutional. I'd be stunned. And I'm optimistic that the significant provisions are going to be, in fact, including the contentious provisions, are going to be held constitutional. As I said, I want to underscore the government conceded no ethnic or racial profiling under this law. And that, in and of itself, is very significant.
Folks, we want to take your phone calls when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. Live reports from the U.S. Supreme Court. Final day of the court's term hearing oral arguments. Final day of oral arguments ended with Arizona's SB 1070. 2 major U.S. Supreme Court cases this term. We represented members of Congress, thousands of you in both. In this case, 57 members of Congress, including 2 U.S. senators. I want you to stand now in a petition with the people of Arizona, with the governor of Arizona, the legislature of Arizona. They have fought this battle for all of us. Call now, 877-989-2255. Stand for border security, security for the people of Arizona, empowering law enforcement officials. These are things we should all support. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. It's the final day to do so. It's time to show them how to
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org. It's a critically important week at the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments taking place on Arizona's immigration law. The issue, can Arizona constitutionally protect its borders and citizens by targeting illegal immigration? Here's the problem. Eric Holder's Justice Department is pursuing a troubling strategy. He's targeting state immigration measures, obstructing the rights of states to lawfully protect their citizens and secure their borders. Arizona is just the beginning. Alabama's immigration policy is under assault. More challenges are likely in other states as well. The Attorney General's skewed view of the law is not only disturbing, but dangerous as well. Stand with the ACLJ, which has filed an amicus brief with the High Court backing the Arizona law. It's time to send a message to the Attorney General. Stop obstructing states that have a constitutional right to protect their citizens and borders. Add your name now to our petition for a secure border. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. My dad's actually walking back from the Supreme Court right now. He'll be joining us in the studio here at ACLJ DC, which we're right behind the U.S. Supreme Court, literally across the street from the court, so that shouldn't take him long. Let's get right to the phone calls. A lot of them coming in, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Teresa calling from Illinois on line 6. Teresa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jordan, how are you?
Jordan, hey, I'm good.
Question is, I want to know if there's any place in history where another president had ever sued one of our states, one of our states here in the United States. And then my second part of my question is, what is it with this president where he's so adamant about that border being unsafe, where he would sue one of our states?
There are a number of cases in the past. I mean, the civil rights era, I think, was key, Teresa, where the U.S. government is a party and the state may be on the other side. I think what you've seen is unprecedented here is that the Obama administration, it's not that this happened after the facts, like a civil rights violation occurred. They came in before the law went into force, arguing for the injunction, which they won. So I do think it's different, and that's why I've called it Obama versus the states. I don't think this is something usual, even though, yes, you can look back in the courts, and there are lots of name or state versus United States. I mean, that's part of fighting it out in a country that has the rule of law. And, Teresa, I don't think it's a bad thing. But you do have to understand that here, the Obama administration came in preemptively to stop this law. So I think, listen, when you look at this, yeah, there's a history of the United States and states butting heads, the federal government versus state governments, but you haven't really seen anything like this. I mean, back-to-back huge U.S. Supreme Court cases, some of the biggest cases likely. I mean, the way that this will impact the whole country, Arizona is not just about Arizona, just like healthcare is not just about the 26 states, about all of the citizens of those states as well, and the relationship between the federal government, you're going to see a huge impact here. I do want to play Russell Pierce, who was the state senator in Arizona that really pushed SB 70 through. He explained, I think, a very simple way exactly how this law works and what it's really about and what it's not about. And I think that's so clear because you hear this is all about racism. And the truth is that wasn't asserted in court. In fact, the federal government, for all of you listening, said, no, this has nothing to do with racial profiling. This has nothing to do with ethnic profiling or civil rights violations at all. I want you all to hear that very quickly. Let's go right. Listen to state senator, former state senator from Arizona, Russell Pierce, Byte 16.
Illegal is a crime, not a race. It doesn't pick out any nationality. Just so happens 90% of those who violate our immigration laws come from across that southern border or are Hispanic citizens.
You know, folks, I think that is important to understand. And waiting for my dad to walk into the studio here in Washington, D.C. I thought I saw the door moving. The door didn't start moving yet. We're waiting for him, though, so he can give us some more commentary from the Supreme Court. What happened in the oral arguments today? I want to go right back to the phones. Martin in Maryland on line 5. Martin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for having me. I just been listening for the last 15 minutes or so, and I was just wondering, would you agree that in light of what's going on in the courts and what they're saying, would you say that our government right now has been, because they don't have the financial means to support our borders, but they've been keeping Arizona from protecting their own citizens, are they doing that for their own personal political agenda? I really do think
that they do have a problem with resources. I'm not sure now, and that's also how you want to allocate and what you think is the best way to handle the problem that's on the borders. But I think, listen, if the federal government could secure them, would this administration be the one that did it? No. They don't want to deport everybody. It's a lot of politics playing with, I think, the Latino vote, which is unfair because they go into court. This is just like health care law. When they go into court and say one thing and then the president says something else. This is a tax. This isn't a tax. Here, it's all about race when it comes to President Obama's commentary on SB 1070. He said you have to worry about getting ice cream with your kids because of the color of your skin. And then his lawyers go into the Supreme Court, and my dad's in the studio with us now, and they say this has nothing to do with racial profiling or ethnic profiling at all. Why would they even admit that? They could have just said, we still think there's a problem there.
We just didn't raise it in our brief. Let me give you exactly what happened here, and it's very clear. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, said, he stopped the Solicitor General right in the beginning of his argument and said, let me get one thing clear here, General Varelli. Is this case does not involve racial, I'm reading it exactly, this is not a case about racial or ethnic profiling. Response from the Solicitor General, that's correct. Racial profiling is not part of this, nor is ethnic profiling. Asked again by Justice Sotomayor. So you're saying that this case is not about racial profiling. You've terribly confused me by your answer. He said, this is not a case involving racial or ethnic profiling. Justice Sotomayor said then, well, then you need to have another argument because no one is buying the idea that a systematic enforcement of the laws by the state of Arizona is a problem. That was from Justice Sotomayor, so a considered conservative member of the court. So that kind of tells you the nature of what we really got here, and on it goes. Ask the question about funding. Does the federal government have the priorities and the resources to enforce the laws? We are resource constrained, said the Solicitor General of the United States, to which Justice Scalia said, then why do you expect the state of Arizona to do nothing when its citizens are in peril? Justice Kennedy, considered the swing vote here, said, so you're saying that if in fact there was civil unrest because of problems at the border and drug gangs and cartels coming over, that the state of Arizona could not enforce and check on the existing immigration laws in order for people to be notified about removal? The federal government's response was, that's correct, to which Justice Kennedy said, that doesn't make sense.
Wow.
So there you have it. I mean, it went on and on. One other thing, too, for some of the critics of the law, early on, the state of Arizona said that the law only operates with probable cause for the stop in the first place. You can't stop just because of immigration status. It stopped on something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they pick up on that? They understood that this is not like you can pull someone over because of the color of their skin, like
correct.
President Obama said. You got to have a real violation.
You know, the whole idea, and this is what's so, Jordan, you just mentioned this, and I literally just left the court a few minutes ago. I mean, the whole idea with this law was President Obama made that statement about the ice cream shop. I don't want some kids picked up in the ice cream shop because they may not be legal. Well, because he was concerned that civil rights and human rights were being violated because this was civil unrest. And what is the Supreme, what is the Solicitor General of the United States, President Obama's chief Supreme Court lawyer say in our court case today? No, this does not involve racial or ethnic profiling. Folks, I'm very glad we represented 65,000 of you and 57 members of the United States Congress. You never know how the cases go in the end, but I will tell you this. It was a good day at the Supreme Court for the oral argument. Paul Clement did an outstanding job, as always.
All right, folks, so we'll take more of your phone calls, some of them in the Jordan Sekulow Show. We've only got about a minute left. Anything else you want to point out to people from the case? Everybody was heard this over and over that this is such a difficult argument to make
it was
for
not.
Arizona.
I'll tell you where Arizona had the easier day. Justice Alito said the federal response to the state inquiry here seems interesting that the state's supposed to make the phone call, but now the federal government's saying don't make the call, even though the federal law says make the call. Can you explain the two? No. And that's when Justice Sotomayor said, we are confused by your answers. Terribly confusing.
Wow. I mean, that's the second time in a row she said that to this Solicitor General.
Yeah, interrupt
that. It's within a month. Were any of the administration officials there this case? Or
no,
they kept
pretty quiet this time. Yeah. A lot of our clients were there. Members of Congress. I had a chance to speak to Justice Brewer. She thanked everybody at the ACLJ for standing alongside her in this important case.
All right, folks. This is the final day for you to take a stand. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. Final day to stand with Arizona. That's 877-989-2255. Again, aclj.org. The final day to sign the petition standing with the people of Arizona.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.